Broadcasting live from the beautiful Cobb Galleria Center in Atlanta, Georgia, for Grow ATL, presented by Small Business Day. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Stone, Peyton, Lee Cantor here with you, broadcasting live from the Cobb Galleria Center. Lee, this is going to be so much fun. We're here for Small Business Day, brought to you by Velocity, the good folks over in that organization. We are so thrilled at Business Radio X to be affiliated with that organization and launching that channel. We're going to have so much fun. And I think right out of the box, we've got two fabulous conversations to look forward to, don't you?
Absolutely. This is going to be exciting. Entrepreneurs all day long, our favorite thing.
All right. First up on our episode today, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with the boss of me, master business coach, Miss AJ Austin. Good morning, sunshine.
Good morning.
Welcome, AJ.
Thank you, Lee.
Tell us about the boss of me. How are you serving folks?
I am serving folks here in Atlanta and worldwide. I'm a master life coach trainer. So we train and certify life coaches here in Atlanta. And then once we get them in the room, of course, they are inspired by my story of how I went from homeless to hopeless to hopeful. And here I am 15 years later, celebrating about 15 years in business, 14 books written, and showing other women and men in business how to write their first book, share their story, and grow their business.
So take us through your journey.
Yeah.
How did it happen?
Thank you for asking. Going from homeless,
you know.
I know, that always
gets attention. Transformation there.
Yes. About 15 years ago, I was leaving divorce court. Mm-hmm. Catch that, right? Mm-hmm. Getting on the elevator, and I saw my now ex-husband for the last time as the doors closed on the elevator, and I got a call that my mom had just passed away.
The same day.
The same day, ouch. The same hour. Yeah. It's like as soon as I signed on the dotted line, she said, okay, I'm ready to go. My daughter's good.
You're on your own now.
Yeah. And though it's funny you say that because I'm the eldest of three. And so my phone rang nonstop from family and unknown numbers like, well, what are you going to do? Your mom was $500,000 in debt in her medical expenses. And, you know, she has this new house that she just built from the ground up. What are you going to do? And it just so happens at that time I was living in a prison that had been converted to transitional housing for the working poor.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually needed a home. And I actually always wanted to be a homeowner. I just did not know that that was how it was going to happen, but God knew. So I ended up going home and handling my mother's affairs as far as her medical expenses, funeral arrangements, cleaning out the house. I just called all the family and said, hey, come get something that reminds you of mom. And that was the easiest thing versus having a yard sale or trying to load up my car and take everything to the thrift store. So it worked out. That became a business building blessing because you think that was something. A few days later, I was actually working corporate at that time, but I had taken off maybe 2 or 3 days for bereavement. Honestly, they sent me home because I couldn't stop crying. Mm-hmm. I was locked in a bathroom stall at work and they said, AJ, go home. And so I did. But while I was on bereavement, I got the call from the company saying, you know, we know we told you to take a break. The break is going to kind of be extended because when you come back, there's really no position to come back to. Your team has downsized and there's no job. We'll have your stuff waiting for you at the front desk. So when I should have been crying and on antidepressants, and I was for a while, even though I fought my doctor about it, when I found myself sitting at the top of the stairs in my new home, balled up and fighting within myself, I said, okay, I gotta come out of this. This is not me. But it was the life that I had secretly prayed for. You know how we kind of wish for things and we don't realize we asked for it?
Just and then all of a sudden you got it and you're like, what did I get myself into?
This was how it was going to look. So that's how I was. But I realized that same position that I wanted to be in where I was sitting in that corporate cubicle, secretly Googling and trying to find things to do on the side for my side hustle.
Right.
Now I had all the time in the world to work that hustle.
That side hustle is now the hustle.
The main hustle. Had to pay that mortgage, right? So I ended up taking time to sit with my story. I always say I sat with God and got my story straight, put it in a book, and reached out to the women in my community saying, hey, I'm new to this. Tell me what to do.
But how did you make the transformation? Like, you're going through all these hardships one after the other.
Yeah.
It feels like it's piling on, right? Like, it seems like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
And then you didn't look at it as, oh, woe is me. This is this terrible thing happening to me. You're looking at it, this is exactly what I wanted to happen. So this is an opportunity. This isn't an impossible challenge. This is something I can get through. Like, how did you have the faith to kind of look at it in a positive manner instead of a lot of people look at it as a victim, woe is me, this is one more thing that life's not fair kind of
why
thing.
Why me? Yeah.
Right.
Well, that was just kind of like my introduction to adult life. That was the adult version of what's next. Because I've been on my own since 14. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't my first time with tragedy
and hardship
and having to overcome.
Right.
And so the same house that I was taking over for my mom was the same one I was kicked out of at 14 years old. Mm-hmm. So again, I was not new to this.
Right.
Okay. So then I knew if I keep going through this, there's something that God put in me that showed that he could trust me with this. Mm-hmm. Everything from what happens when you wrap up the life of a loved one to what you do as far as your next steps as being the oldest. I'm the eldest child of three, the only girl. So, of course, the weight of my world that I thought was being lifted after the divorce trial became right. the weight of my mother's world. So I just knew that God trusted me with what was next. And I'm Christian. I'm saved. I believe in Jesus Christ. I have to. There was no other way outside of this. So my faith is what keeps me going still to this day.
And then so you were able to take this adversity and then turn it into something positive. How when did you start having clues that, hey, I'm on the right track here?
Yeah, once I realized, you know, okay, now I got mortgage to pay. Back in the day, it was $850. You can't really find a house that low these right. days. So I had to go make that $850. The first thing I knew to do was go to my local chamber of commerce. And I knew I wanted to work with girls and moms or just women in general. And so at my local chamber, they have this big wall full of business cards. And I left with about 200 business cards stuffed in my pocket that day.
And you saw them. Those are opportunities. That's 200 opportunities.
200 opportunities. If your name was a woman's name or sounded like one on your business card, it was going home with me. And it was great because I went to school with the people who run the chamber. So mm-hmm. I was like, Sarah, hi. You know, I know I'm not a member, but they let me come in because they were used to seeing my smiling face trying to get information on what to do. And that's mm-hmm. what the resource is there for.
So now you gather these cards. Now, mm-hmm. what's the next step?
I went home. I emailed all 200 women. Hi, I'm AJ. I'm not new to Douglasville because I'm born and raised here. However, I am new to the business community. I see that you're working full time and that's what I aspire to do. Can you do me a favor and be totally honest? And you don't have to answer if you don't want to. This is all in the email now.
Right.
What is your biggest struggle in business? Mm-hmm. And these are women. So we
and
talk.
And this is complete strangers.
Complete strangers. Some I knew
right.
From around the community for their businesses, but most did not know me. They're like, how did you get my card? Oh, I was networking and I got right. your card.
At
you know, I
chamber.
Didn't say I stole it off the chamber wall. And they answered me back and they gave a list of about 20 different struggles. And I noticed those were universal struggles because people started saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I ended up writing a book about it. It's called Secrets of a Socialpreneurista, the top 8 mistakes mm-hmm. women mm-hmm. entrepreneurs make that leave them broke, stuck, and struggling in their business. And I ended up giving them inspiration for their business journey. And that's kind of how the storytelling, book writing, coaching, training, speaking, all of that
it
started.
All kind of was birthed from that
yeah.
effort.
Yeah.
So that's so when that book got published, what was that moment like?
That was a self-publishing moment. I followed a lady.
When you're holding it in your hand.
Oh, my gosh. When I get it, I took the picture straight out of bed, hear the UPS truck back up in the driveway.
It's here.
Yes. And I knocked on my neighbor's door because she watched this journey. And she's like, you got to tell people. So I have my back in the day first baby picture in my hand, hair looking crazy, got on a t-shirt and my jammies, but it was done. She was right. here. I was ready to birth my story even more and get some more copies out. And so here we are 400 copies later, about $20,000 in just that book. Wow. Multiply that times 13 others. I just finished one last night. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of. So yeah, I'm excited about what's next because I get to share what I now know, what I've learned, and even how to take what you think you've been through and turn that obstacle into an opportunity. Start making money off that pain or getting paid for that pain is how I say it.
Right. Now, what's the biggest challenge for you?
Ooh, that's a good one. I was not prepared for that. The biggest challenge for me. So Dana here, me and my friend, we were talking.
And you've known Dana for quite some
for
time.
For about
right?
5 minutes now. But she's a publisher as well. So I'm looking forward to hearing her story. But we were talking about having to get out of the bed as an introvert.
Right.
You may not be able to tell, but I'm an introverted extrovert. So I know how to turn it on. But after this, I'm going to need a nap. So maybe two. But I had Starbucks this morning, so that helps. And so my struggle is being under the warm sheets in the morning, especially now with today's weather. Right. And you're like, do I get up at 5:30 in the morning to make an event, an interview where I have to talk and be bright and bubbly at 8:45 a.m.? Mm-hmm. Or do I sleep it off and give an excuse of why I couldn't make it?
Because it's raining, it's cold. There's a lot of reasons not to.
And is it worth it? You know, right? I know so many people in Atlanta, like there's no events that I can go to here in Atlanta where I'm at least guaranteed to know at least one person. Mm-hmm. So that's what I told my other introverted friend, Dana, here. If you stay today, I promise I'll introduce you to someone. Because someone here is going to know me, but that's because I choose to show up.
Right.
But honestly, it's the struggle. It's not something that you just say, okay, I'm not going to struggle with this today. It's right. always a struggle.
So now how'd you find this Grow ATL event?
Oh, that's interesting. I think one of my clients sent it. They know that if they send it and I go, I have to report back to them and they hold me accountable. Or they say, AJ, send me the notes or send me the worksheets. And I'm like, how about I just do a live? And so that's why I'm on live right now. So I think one of my clients sent me either that or Eventbrite was like, hey, here's a reason to get out of bed on Saturday morning.
And you're looking for those opportunities?
Yeah, I am. But I'm looking to make it worth it. I had a networking coach who said, you know, when you go out and network.
You have
and
a
show
networking
up,
coach?
I do. There's She's wonderful.
Wow. On
there
network?
Are lots of networking coaches.
A lot of them?
Yeah. I can give you her number.
Yeah, let's get her on the show.
Is she local?
She is. Her name is Tamiko Leverett. And she taught me years ago in networking. My new business journey. She said, AJ, when you go to events, go with a purpose, go with a goal. Uh-huh. And so I just knew I had to show up. And me showing up here this morning has already made a difference in more than one life.
There you go. So now what's next?
What's next is getting this book that I just finished at 11 o'clock last night. To my publisher, not my publisher, my book formatter, and then starting on the next book. We have some trainings coming up, and we are trying to introduce the live stream portion for people who are across the country, can't travel to Atlanta for our life coaching events. And so we're trying to meet them online. And when they leave my training as a certified life coach, I try to make sure they stay connected to the resources I have for them to continue to grow their business.
Now, are you affiliated with another life coach organization, or is this your own organization?
This is part my company. And I'm co-owner of fastcoachtraining.com. Mm-hmm. So we are partners. My partner here is Dr. Michael J. Duckett. He trained with Dr. Thomas J. Leonard, literally the founder of life coaching in the mm-hmm. industry itself. And so Dr. Duckett is here in Atlanta. Man, I'm the face of the company. I'm who you see when you show up at training, who you talk to when you call, and who you stay connected to afterwards as well. So that's why I try to make sure that my online store, which is over at courses.thebossof.me, stays stocked with information and resources to keep coaches encouraged. Because as you may know, it's hard to stay motivated.
Is there a lot of coaches out there?
Absolutely.
How many?
Billions. No.
Is there...
It's crowded though, right? It's a crowded arena.
If you let it be, there's not another AJ. There's not another person with my story. There's not another person with that perseverance or 14 books on the topic. Mm-hmm. So it's crowded if you let it be. It's not a reason to not do what you do just because other people may look like they're doing it.
And then who's your ideal prospect?
I love people who are type A. Like me. They come in, they say, tell me what to do. They study before they get there because they get their hands on an 88-page training manual. I call it your coaching Bible because it's literally how to conduct your coaching session, how to protect yourself legally, all the good stuff, the business side, how to make your first money. Mm-hmm. You know, just whatever that is,
just
your dollar
to the chamber,
or whatever.
Take a 200
no,
card.
Don't do that. You can. It may not work out for you like it did for me.
I don't know.
I share that story as inspiration. Like, hey, I've done it all. And so just the person who's ready. If you're bold enough to walk into a chamber and collect cards like your coach, you deserve success.
That's
you know,
it.
Follow that Amen. Model. So I love people who are ready for that next step. They do the work and they say, okay, AJ, what's next? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're eager to learn. They got all the products beforehand because a lot of people go and find you on YouTube and study your channels and look at your books and purchase your things before they even show up to class. And I love those types of people because I'm like, ooh, what else can I teach them? They're challenging me now.
Right. And if somebody wanted to learn more, where do they go?
They can start at thebossof.me. That's thebossof.me. But that's only if you're ready to be the boss.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming down and sharing your story. It's inspiring. It's informative. We look forward to following you more and learning more, and you're local, so we need to stay connected and maybe even have you come into one of the Business Radio 8 studios here in the market with some of your clients or your colleagues.
That would be great. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely, our pleasure. Hey, stay with us a little bit. We're going to visit with one more guest.
Yay!
All right. Next up today, we have with us from Nuwata Press Publishing and Consulting, Miss Dana Ellington. How are you?
Woohoo!
it is a rainy Saturday morning, and I am ready to go.
And you got out of bed as well.
Yes.
What did you learn from that last segment, though? Anything?
That I need to hire AJ.
There you go. That was the right answer.
That's what it boils down to.
John, bring a commission brokerage firm over form over here and fill that out.
That's all I got.
That's right.
Exactly.
So, Dana, tell us about Nawada Press Publishing and Consulting. How are you serving folks?
Okay. Well, I am an independently published author. And in the process of learning how to do that, I became a publishing company. Mm-hmm. And in the process of doing that, came in contact with people who you'd hear them say, oh, I want to write a book.
I wonder, yeah, we
how
got
do
that
I
a
do
lot.
That? And so I began coaching new writers in the process of going from blank page to published.
Okay, so you take a person who has just an idea even? And
yes.
You give them kind of the tools that they can write their own book.
Exactly.
And actually get it to print, whether it's through self-publishing or traditional publishing?
Yes.
So now, you started this because you did it for yourself?
I started this because people, after the first couple of books that I produced,
right.
Again, I kept getting, well, how? And I want.
Right.
And it started off just casual conversation, and then I realized, oh,
there
this
might be
could
a business
be a business.
Here. So now, who is the typical author? Are they fiction writers? Are they nonfiction? Are they doing it for their business or doing it just because they have a story?
It started off as fiction writers. Mm-hmm. And what I'm noticing, like AJ, there are a lot of entrepreneurs now who want to produce at least something, whether it's a guidebook, their story. They're looking for some type of tangible product
right.
that they can begin to use to reach more clients. And so I'm getting into how to leverage book writing
as a tool. Like, it's kind of the new business card, right?
Exactly.
Like, you need a book to kind of prove you're credible and you're an authority.
And to get your story told.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're controlling it if you're self-publishing.
Exactly.
And you don't have to wait. Like, traditional publishing could be years before it's actually published.
And traditional publishing has changed so much that with the advent of technology and self-publishing avenues, the opportunities to do it yourself are now less expensive mm-hmm. and more widely available. And so traditional publishing still carries that prestige, if you will.
Right.
You know, you can say, oh, yes, I have a publishing contract and blah, blah, blah. But traditional publishing companies are now demanding that you do your own press releases
and marketing.
Your own
right.
marketing.
So
right.
then why am I giving them a bigger cut?
Exactly.
If I'm
exactly.
going to have to do all the work anyway.
Exactly.
So now, what's your personal best of getting a book out in the market? How time-wise?
6 months.
6 months. From no, I like not written at all?
From blank page to published.
6 months.
In as few
wow.
as 6 months.
That's amazing. So now, walk me through the process. So like, say I'm an entrepreneur and I want to tell my kind of story like AJ did.
Okay.
And I'm taking that from scratch. So I don't know. You know, I think my story's interesting. I don't know if it is or not. You tell me, like I would trust you to know if it's something publishable.
Publishable is going to be in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
So I try not to judge in that respect. But I tell people you've got three basic things that you need to do before you get started. So
okay.
that first, you have the idea.
So I got the idea.
You have the idea. And so what you want to do with that first step is just kind of organize it. What's the reason? Why are you telling this particular story? Mm-hmm. From there, you're going to look at who are you telling this story to?
Right.
And then third, how do they need to hear it? Because I'm a storyteller by nature, and I can tell stories all day long. But if I'm not telling them in a way that resonates with my target audience, it's going to fall flat. Nobody's
right.
going to buy that. And so part of what I do with my clients is we sit down and we actually kind of suss out those particular topics.
So
those
this seems like
ideas.
This could be a challenging conversation. Like, this isn't like, great idea. Like, you've got to really challenge them, right? To get
yes.
to the heart of it. Because a lot of times the story isn't what the person thinks the story is.
Right.
They're kind of maybe too on the surface.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also with a lot of new writers, it's not even about their client or why they're trying to write this book. It's about convincing them that their story is worth being told.
Oh, really?
So, and so we do a lot
there's
of
some psychology
self-work.
Behind
yes, yes.
You're part therapist.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I just had a client. We had her book release in Denver not too long ago, but it took us a year from initial conversation to her actually writing the book, because we had to do a lot of work just convincing her that, yes, your story's worth being told.
Wow. That's kind of sad, right?
No, it's actually, it's
well, it's good
uplifting.
That she did it, but it would take a year to believe.
The fact that people work that hard to get to that point is my inspiration.
Right. That's the victory.
Right.
So now a person goes through the process, and then they work with you kind of personally, or is this something that you send them to an online course and they do at their own pace?
It's a lot of different, I've got a lot of different ways you can access this course. Mm-hmm. So I have a 90-minute workshop where I come in and just kind of give the top level, 1, 2, 3, 4, right. 5. Then I do one-on-one coaching. People can just a la carte, give me a call. I'm at this particular point, not quite sure what I need to do.
Right.
And then, yes, I do offer a version online.
Is there any, like some organizations have a do-it-yourself kind of version, like here, you're on your own, take this format and you can do it yourself, or a do-it-for-me format where can I just say, hey, I got a book, this is my book, can you edit it and make it look nice and get it out the door?
Oh, of course. I've got levels.
So that's part of your offering?
Just this year, after working with this one particular client, I upgraded my DIY project or package. So, yes, you come to me with your first draft, and then I take over from there. And I, again, taking it from blank page to published.
All right, whoa. We're 20 minutes into this thing, and we haven't talked about me yet. So let's talk about me for a minute.
Sorry about that.
I hooked up all the equipment, all this. But no, all kidding aside, so we have, Lee and I, we're audio people, right? Mm-hmm. So we have some thought leadership around how to leverage this platform to help people and make money. And one of the things that we've done over the last few months is we've recorded pro tips, just little nuggets of here's some things you may not have thought about, mistakes we've made over the last 12 years, kind of insights, things like that. And we've probably got over 100 at this point. And we thought about this, and I would be interested in your opinion. Do you think maybe we could take those and somehow craft a little practical?
They're transcribed.
Book. Yeah, we got them transcribed and then hand them to somebody like you or your machine and get them put into a book that would be helpful to people?
Of course. I have a client. She's a professional hairstylist. And she just did a small kind of guidebook on how to set up a shop and then market as a stylist. And it's about this thick, maybe a quarter of an inch. Right? It's tiny. And she's using that now at workshops and whatnot. And it's basically just a guide on how to do this as a hairstylist.
All right, but you could take raw material like that, transcripts, and put it in your machine with your resources, and out the other end could come a nice, cool, polished book that we could use for us to try to help people. And
most definitely.
Probably help us in our marketing, Lee, right?
So you feel pretty confident you'd be able to pull this off?
Once the check clears, yes.
Well, she hasn't heard the tips yet. She might say,
she might change her mind.
I love it. Once the check clears.
So now, right now, why'd you come to this Grow ATL event?
Because even though I've been a published author for 11 years, I've been a business person for about a minute and a half.
Oh.
And I need to learn now the business side, because I'm a storyteller. I'm an introvert.
Right. You're good at what you do.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. But it's not necessarily making a lot of money at this point. And so I know that there is room for growth and learning in that respect. So.
And then so you're coming here to look for that education.
Exactly.
And to take your business to the
next
level.
And to network.
Level.
Find
see
a
that?
Coach.
Look, it's this.
So
see how
we
thank you,
together.
AJ.
Look. You didn't know her if there was no radio show.
Exactly.
You connect the dots.
You guys did your job.
Exactly. So now if there's, because this is all we talk to is entrepreneurs. So if you're an entrepreneur and with an idea of a book, the thinking that, hey, a book might help me in my business, they should call you.
They should call me.
And do you have a website?
NoWaterPressLLC.com.
And then how do you spell that?
It is NoWata press press LLC.com.
And you'll take the call and you'll just learn that there's no fee for that initial
kind correct. Of our initial consultation, right. And then upwards you can see of 90 minutes.
See if it's a fit or not.
Right.
And then from there, then you'll give them enough information to make a decision whether this is something that they can pull off or that it's a good fit.
Most definitely.
Well, Dana, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for being part of the show.
All right. We will be back in a few from Grow ATL.